and casting the shroud over all we have known.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
This is Jennifer Lawrence from Old Chatham, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where is that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Melinda of Catskill, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences. Presenting The Witching Hour, a series that pays tribute to the special hour of night that welcomes the alluring and terrifying. This month, playing Possession, Under the Skin, and The Vanishing. Every Wednesday night. Information at about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 18th. Local early morning temperatures range from 62 degrees already in Medusa to 66 in most of the valley. Regional average soil temperature is 68 degrees. Air quality will be good and pollen levels will be low. Rainy again today. It might see a break around 9 a.m., but it will come back. And this afternoon, we get a high of 81 at 6 p.m. Overnight, rain takes a break, but the humidity does not. Temperatures fall to 69 degrees. Tomorrow, more rain, especially in the afternoon. A high of 89 will linger for a couple hours. Overnight, rain stops. We see a low of 69. Friday, bit less humid, high of 82. Saturday, still dry, high of 88. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:56 a.m., high tide at 8:41 a.m., low tide again at 3:32 p.m., then high tide once again at 9:26 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 68 degrees and the tide strength is average. Sunset today will be at 8:19 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 25%. Plasma winds will be average at 509 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are pretty good for what should now be the downhill part of solar max. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 97. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Ghost of my brother, I know you'll never be reading this. I don't talk to spirits, but somehow I need to think you will hear it. Georgie wasn't talking, his eyes didn't seem to see anything. So my first sad confession, it's when he ran away, I hoped somewhere it was you and him. I found the house. You said I saw you coming. Dream after dream you showed, but I'm not haunted. No knife or gun, just my two hands needed to feel the pulse in its glands. Don't care if his was an accident. My head was shaking and hell-bent. The part that I found strangest was how hard I cried now. That old sheriff had me in the back of his car in handcuffs, 10 years in the state prison. Georgie came home just past halfway through, and when he told his story,
Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khomeini rejected President Donald Trump's demand for unconditional surrender Wednesday. That as Iranians jammed the highways out of Tehran, fleeing from intensified Israeli airstrikes. That for Reuters. And from ABC News, the 17 members of a federal vaccine advisory committee who were ousted last week argued their abrupt dismissal has left the U.S. vaccine program critically weakened. The group speaking collectively for the first time since Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dismissed them said his actions have stripped the program of the institutional knowledge and continuity that have been essential to its success over decades. Meantime, avian flu experts are questioning the effectiveness of the Trump administration's plan to lower egg prices.
The government has paid farmers more than $1 billion so far to kill their entire flocks if they detect one case of the virus. But UC Davis veterinary professor Maurice Petesky says it isn't working because requirements to improve biosecurity to prevent wild birds from infecting flocks are not sufficiently enforced.
What they're suggesting conceptually makes sense. Practically, it is not a solution. This is beyond any farmer's or state's ability to address. We need every tool that we can use.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Next, the budget reconciliation bill in the U.S. Senate would mean drastic cuts for national park spending, including in North Carolina.
If it passes, proponents of public lands say the cuts would be devastating. The Senate version of the reconciliation bill, already passed in the House, would slash $267 million for rebuilding staffing at the National Park Service. That's on top of a more than 16% reduction in staff since 2023. Southeast Regional Director of the National Parks Conservation Association, Ebony Preston Goddard, notes these proposed cuts come even after national parks saw record-breaking visitor numbers last year.
It's really hurting the parks and the staff when they're already in a crisis, to be frank. Parks across the system, the staff are really struggling to keep visitor centers open. They prioritize safety in these spaces.
Preston Goddard says staff also ensure that walking trails and roads are clear, campgrounds and picnic areas are open, and programming is running. North Carolina is home to 10 national parks. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
And a new report finds nonprofit leaders in New York and nationwide are worried about the country's political and economic climate. Alicia Smith Arriaga with the Center for Effective Philanthropy says nonprofit leaders feel the current climate exacerbates long-term feelings of burnout.
Their staff are concerned about their own personal safety, that at a moment where the work they're doing in communities is needed now more than ever, a lot of organizations talk about either their work or their funding being under attack.
The 2025 State of Nonprofits report finds risk to funding from federal budget cuts and polarization of nonprofit work are top concerns. This is Public News Service. Central Georgia's Macon-Bibb County is shaking up its approach to public safety by confronting a long-standing problem, people stuck in jail simply because they can't afford to get out.
Mayor Lester Miller introduced the new reform plan, which he says aims to make the system more efficient and more supportive of long-term community safety. He says the goal isn't to offer a get-out-of-jail-free card, but to ensure the system is more fair while still being smart on crime.
We must eliminate a two-tier justice system where individuals who can afford it are at home, while those that cannot are in jail.
He says one way to do this is to cover the cost of ankle monitors for nonviolent offenders. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Next, Colorado is already considered a national leader in workforce development and now is aiming to raise the bar even higher.
Governor Jared Polis recently issued an executive order calling on state agencies to create a more integrated system that meets learners where they are so they can access the education and training they need to get good jobs in Colorado's evolving economy. Dr. Angie Piccioni with the Colorado Department of Higher Education says the challenge is to restructure siloed agencies and initiatives and design a system that works even better.
Bring together the best of what each individual division and department is doing and bring it together in a way that's going to make it easier for individuals to navigate and also ultimately get the skills and training that they need for the jobs that they want.
Colorado ranks first nationally, tied with Massachusetts, for its percentage of residents who have a credential or degree beyond high school, but there's room for improvement. There are currently two available jobs for every unemployed person in the state. More than 90% of top-paying jobs require some form of post-secondary education, but just half of graduating seniors are signing up for college or certificate programs well below the national average of 61%. I'm Eric Galatas.
And June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. New research examines the connection between dementia and awareness about money management skills.
Binghamton University's Ian McDonough co-authored a new study that says people with dementia aren't aware if they're making errors in handling their bank accounts and other financial tasks. For those without cognitive decline, that awareness improved over time.
When you're aware of those declines, you can adapt. You can ask for help. You can use calculators. If you're not aware, you might be going on your daily business, doing some mental arithmetic, and then that's when those errors might be introduced.
McDonough says that increases their vulnerability to fraud at a time when Americans, including older adults, are losing more money to scammers. He says preventative efforts by caregivers are important so people with dementia can avoid being taken advantage of and still have some autonomy over their finances. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Filled to the brim with something fine, one spark in I'll explode. Reach out for the edge of you, by the
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature once again finds itself in federal court for two racial gerrymandering cases in a trial beginning June 16th. Voters and three pro-voter groups accused GOP leaders of violating the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The cases were brought in late 2023 by Black North Carolina voters, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, the state NAACP, and Common Cause. They contend that GOP legislators intentionally diluted Black voting power in the so-called Black Belt and other regions, affecting 9 state House districts, 5 state Senate districts, and 6 congressional districts. The original complaint contends, quote, "The General Assembly targeted predominantly Black voting precincts with surgical precision throughout the state, in drawing and enacting the 2023 plans at the expense of traditional redistricting criteria to achieve preferred district lines that diminish Black voters' ability to elect candidates of their choice at all levels of government," unquote. The legislature, in a familiar refrain, claims the gerrymandering was done for partisan reasons, out of bounds for federal courts, not for racial discrimination reasons. The trial is expected to last through July 9th and a decision before fall. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
The doctor comes in the room. Says it's not too bad. I'm lucky the pain came and warned me about this mess. We can rebuild you. We have the technology. But nobody is bionic. That's still science fiction. This body is all we get. I'm not dead yet, hanging on by a thread, but hanging on nonetheless. I'm not dead yet. She lays in that clean white bed, my whole world reduced to a fragile body, connected to life by wires. What'll I do if she dies? How to go on as half a person. All I can do is stand with her as she fights for her life and we wait. She's not dead yet, hanging on by a thread, hanging on nonetheless. She's not dead yet. Does one person get cancer young? Doing all the right things. And another abuses everything. And lives to grow old.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
these tax incentives were really driving development of manufacturing in the United States, and we see a loss of 840,000 jobs in the next 5 years if this bill is passed.
Analyst Dan O'Brien with Energy Innovation says the One Big Beautiful Budget Act, as it narrowly passed the House, could set back states like Alaska. He says the GOP-backed legislation would repeal clean energy investments and tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act, which would raise rates, especially for companies and rural consumers. Supporters of energy transition say they had hoped the way the IRA funded projects in conservative districts would protect it in Congress. So far, that hasn't worked out, and lawmakers from fossil fuel states argue the Biden-era law has been bad for their industries. In Indiana, economists say the IRA has been drawing manufacturing to the state, and solar installers in states like Michigan say they're worried. Alan O'Shea with family-owned CBS Solar says they'd probably lose the home installation market, which is 90% of what they do.
The other 10% of our business is commercial, and it would still survive, but the damage would be done. We're talking 25-plus employees here.
A federal court could rule any day on a challenge to President Donald Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles against the will of California Governor Gavin Newsom. Department of Justice Attorney Brett Shumate says the protests against immigration raids deserve the response.
So the president has the discretion to decide what level of forces are necessary to counter the threat, necessary to repel the invasion, suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws. And in the president's judgment, 2,000 National Guard are necessary to execute the laws in California, and the record bears that out.
Newsom argues the Guard's presence inflamed the protests and diverted troops from essential state-level duties. The court's decision may set a precedent for how far presidential authority can go when federalizing state forces. In New York City, Democratic mayoral candidate Brad Lander was arrested for confronting ICE agents at an immigration court. In the scuffle, he was recorded asking to see a warrant.
You have a judicial warrant.
Keep going.
You have a judicial warrant. Can I see the judicial warrant?
After initially saying the U.S. would not get involved, Trump is escalating rhetoric about the Israel-Iran air war. Trump is now calling for Iran's unconditional surrender and warning that the U.S. knows where Iran's supreme leader is hiding, but added, "We are not going to take him out for now." Following last weekend's shootings in Minnesota, senators received a private security briefing. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the level of violence and threats have dramatically increased and that more resources are needed. Capitol Police are requesting nearly $1 billion for 2026, up more than a fifth from the current budget. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
We'll be right back.